Hello.
Thank you.
You are working for an organization called The Voice, and this is one of the organizations that actually puts together the caravan 2002 that will tour through Germany. What is this caravan about?
Yes, I have to say that Voice is just one of the organizations involved in the caravan. It's a network of refugees with the support of anti-racist groups in Germany, which began this initiative to have a tour around Europe 4 years ago before the election in order to inform the people about the problems, the isolatory deportation and maltreatments of refugees in Germany. However, this year we want to repeat the same thing, and it's going to begin on the 17th of August till 21st of September. 22nd will be the federal date of the election in Germany, and the motto this time is we are human rights, asylum is human rights, we are here because you destroy our land, in order to really let the people understand that the resistance of the refugees to explain why they are here is very much connected to the destruction of the Western powers who are politically exploitative in these very countries, in most possible ways to really exploit the refugee countries and why they are also here. They are not treated humanly.
Right. Let's maybe start with the action itself. I can see here I've got your wonderful poster in front of me. People who can't see it right now, please go to worldwideweb.humanrights.de for Germany. Caravan with a C, index.de.html. There you will find all the information. So the caravan will be exactly what? Will this be street actions or information? What if I would come to Bremen for the demo and follow your caravan, what will I most probably do or see or hear?
Yes. First and foremost, I will tell you that the caravan visited in 1998 44 cities under the motto... We don't have vote. We don't have a vote, but at the same time, we have a voice. So we don't have vote, we have a voice. This went around the cities with a lot of demonstrations in different times, deportation problem, social exclusion, and so on. But this time around, we want to see how we can be able to bridge the communication between the refugees and the problem of asylum and the general racist situation in Germany. And one of our main focus is to see that we are able to get down to the route to meet refugees in different stations. Of course, there are going to be demonstrations. There are going to be various forms of actions which are going to be organized locally, because in the recent time, the caravan has been decentralized so that different groups in different areas, east, west, north, and south, have possibility to organize themselves and reflect their local problems.
Okay, so I understand you did this kind of caravan already 4 years ago before the current German government got elected. Do you think that it had, or let's say the subjects that you were actually mentioning in your last caravan, had an impact on the refugee or migration policy of this new, thought to be left German, left-wing new German government?
Yes, it is clear that it is the interest of the European countries, especially Germany, to destroy asylum and to make sure that refugees are kicked out of these countries. So the worst is even yet to come. And for this reason, we are trying to see that the refugees are prepared. They will prepare the mind of the refugee to really let them know that they are not secure to be in Germany, and they should be able to come together and resist as much as possible. Definitely, in the recent time, many refugee groups, new refugee groups, are getting involved in the caravan, and there have been a lot of discussions within the refugees and the new laws, especially the racist immigration law, which is one of the main monsters of the refugee recent situation, whereby there's a lot of increase of deportation, prison camps, and also on, mainly to promote more further isolations of the refugees. Of course, the caravan, there's no alternative for the refugee without the caravan. And what we are trying to do mainly is to keep the struggle on, especially to let the refugee understand that coming together, sharing experience within themselves, will enrich possible This will enrich the possibility for them to get a stronger networking, let them know what is going on in their area. The caravan has been involved in the past years, especially on fighting deportation, fighting the problem of women, especially in the countries from the Islamic countries, like Iran, for example, whereby deportation of women were very, very much critical. The caravan has been able to prove that the fight against deportation has not really stopped the deportation, but it has been able to bring out the problem that is connected to the reasons of their flight, especially the collaboration with the dictators in the countries of refugee, the exploitations of the environment, the exploitations of by war and so on. And definitely, we also want to make sure that we can be able to produce and see how we can encourage a world without that does not create refugees.
Well, maybe let's go and find a good example. I'm sure you know some out of your head where, for example, the German or some other European government supports a repressive government in one of the countries where the refugees would flee from. Could you give a good example how such an example refugee story could look like? Was somebody would have to flee a country and have to come to Germany or to the Netherlands or somewhere to Northern or Western Europe and then directly be able to connect his own story to economic stories that or economic threats that these Western countries are posing to the country of origin?
Yes, there's no doubt that the European countries are finding different ways to redefine asylum by trying to underrate and develop a kind of a cover to see that the reasons for flight should be mainly politically persecution. This is what they mean by state persecution. But the caravan has not really this kind of position to even exclude economic or political refugees, because if you have to see the problems of the refugees, is connected to part of the capitalistic exploitation of these countries, like war, for example. We all know the situation in Turkey, the Kurdistan, whereby Germany is one of the countries that supply a lot of arms to really, see how they can pump in such money, ammunition, and so on to continue the repression of the Kurdish there. Nigeria also, we all know about the Ogoni struggle, whereby the Shell and other multinational oil countries come together to see how they can exploit these countries, creating poverty, whereby these people don't even have clean water and billions of barrels of oil are taken away from there. So how do we go further? How do we differentiate state persecution from economic flight? This is not even something we are here to discuss. We only want to say that if there is a refugee, there's a reason for this flight, and this reason for their flight is connected to so many collaboration with the so-called powerful countries who really believe in the exploitation of these countries.
Okay, we will shortly interrupt for an announcement. There has been... where is it? Just a sec. Yeah. There has been more arrests done. Please come to the legal team and write down your testimonies, whatever you have seen. But listen, Daniel, you read this, because I haven't read, so I will learn.
Okay,
here we are, back with Osseren. We were talking about the reasons, mainly economic reasons, also political reasons, of course, but mainly economic and maybe also environmental reasons created by the Western countries in the country of the origin of these refugees. We were talking about Shell in Nigeria. We were talking about German weapon suppliers in the German state supporting the fascist dictatorship in Turkey. Some more?
Yes, I think generally they are connected. I mean, you cannot separate the economic reason from the political reasons. We all know the colonial history of long repression, which is being still practice through the so-called modernizations and through the so-called multinational investment who are really there to exploit the economic situations of these countries. Even example of Togo, for example, where you have a dictator there now for almost 40 years and they are still very much in very good collaboration. They are still in a very good clean paper of the Western countries because as long as this collaboration continue, it means that nothing they've got to lose. So how do we handle this? Look at Syria alone, for example, whereby the whole minerals of this country has even prompted further support of the war, of the rebellion, which is going on there with heavy maltreatment of human rights abuses with the collaborations of the Western countries who did not really care exactly what is going on. Get down to Congo, for example. The country is really unstable now for quite a lot of years because they find this exploitation a lot more profitable during this instability. And these are questions that we have to really ask ourselves. Why is this that with the whole so-called structures of the Europeans, the United Nations, we have never been able to promote a war that doesn't that doesn't create refugees? So refugees come in here for one reason, is that they are victims of this exploitation in their countries. Secondly, they find themselves in these countries and they are not also seen as human beings. So I think it's very much important to see that the caravan is able to develop this platform in order to see how our struggles can be united.
Okay, a short announcement in between. There is apparently police controls at the entrance of the camp right this moment. Il y a des contrôles de police à l'entrée du campement. C'est une Polizeikontrolle beim Eingang des Camps. Okay, let's then... please be careful. Soyez prudent. Seid vorsichtig. Okay, well, shifting to this situation in Germany, one of the things that struck my eye very much that contributes to the isolation of refugees, especially in Germany, is what they call Residenzpflicht. The residents, if I understood it right, refugees are forced to remain in a certain area of Germany if they have claimed asylum.
Yes, this is quite true, and it's a big shame to Germany because this law exists for the past 20 years in Germany, and there has never been such a campaign until the era of the caravan, which took place two years ago, and the Voice initiated a Congress, International Congress of Refugees, and during this Congress, we invited quite a lot of people. Even the refugees who invited these people were given the visas and so on. But unfortunately, the same refugees were not even allowed to leave their area to participate in this very Congress. So there was more of a spontaneous reasons for the refugee to declare kind of a civil disobedience, to say, oh, no, I will never pay for my right, for my right to move. The right to move is their bet, is their reasons for normal development, and at the same time, they will never tolerate it in whatever it costs. And really, some of these refugees are having cases now in the court. Some of the cases are successful, but I think some are still going on because even when they had to ask them to leave these cases, that is... finding a way to see that the cases does not continue. Some of the refugees insist that this case should continue because their main purpose of this case is to see that they abolish the residence fleece. Of course, residence fleece is an apartheid, according to the refugees who declare this, because it's a form of segregation, it's a form of isolation, and at the same time, it's a form of criminalization of the refugees because the control of the refugee is combined with the violation of residence fleece. And some of these refugees even live less than a kilometer to the border to get to the next commercial places, to get to where they come from, to get to whatever, to leave the area they are. And also, too, we should also remember that the refugees in The Voice are political activists. They want to move around. They want to campaign as much as possible. And we found that this residence place is even part of restriction to continue their political engagement in Germany. And moreover, we even find that if refugees that contravenes or violates this residence place law has even the possibility of being jailed for 1 year. He could be fined as much as 2,500 euro. I think this is really a horrible thing. And secondly, this law exists only in Germany as it is. And this means that we need people to really get this awareness very clear that Germany is not in any way, you know, qualified to protect the refugee. Instead, refugees have been persecuted. It's a form of racist persecutions of refugees. So what does this mean? It means that the persecution the refugee go through in their country continue in Germany. And I think it is quite important that the No Border Camp also had this day as a special day, which has got to do with the free movement. And we hope this campaign continue. As long as it exists, we should continue to fight that this very law is abolished. Germany is a threat to the European community. There's no doubt about this, because the law of residence list is likely to be part of the rest of Europe in the year 2004. They are doing all the lobby as much as possible to see that this law is part of the, you know, European Union's law for asylum.
If I look at the list of places where you will go next month, and probably also the list of places you have been in 98, I'm sure that many, many, many people campaigning in the caravan that were refugees were actually breaking this law. Have they been prosecuted for it?
Yes, of course. There's going to be a tour of civil disobedience of refugees. Refugees are going to stand strong to say, look, this time around before the election, they're going to move anywhere they like to. And there are buses. I would say there's already buses around now to get the refugee on. So about 50 to 100 refugees will be on the road during this tour. They are going to meet their colleagues in different places. They are going to have a lot of discussions in these places. They are going to see the possibilities of updating their struggles, share experience in different parts of Germany, and see to what extent they can be mobilized for a final demonstration, which is going to take place a day before the election. And during these days, between 17th and 20th, I think in the border camp here, we have been able to find very motivated sans-papier and refugee organizations who are also ready to join us in Berlin. And during this time, we hope to organize quite an important conference to see how we can be able to have a stronger network of sans-papiers and refugees in Europe.
There has been conferences like this before. There will be some upcoming. Even now, there might be some going on in different countries. Can you sum up the demands that these collectives are actually making? What would you like to see changed on a short term and, of course, on a longer term?
Yes, definitely our demand is quite unconditional. People live here for years. They are not regulated. So definitely we need an open regulation without any conditions. Restriction of movement is very much important. Definitely this is also part of the things we are going to make sure that it's clear to all the people that everyone, be a refugee or no refugee, should have the freedom of movement. Definitely, I think one of the hardcore of the whole campaign is to expose the policy of illegalizations, which really affect the refugees, the sans-papier, and the non-citizens especially, we can even say non-refugees instead of citizens. These are very basic things that we think. Different camps are coming up, and we want to make sure that all these camps are closed. And even if they are not closed, I think it's very much important that we keep on informing the world exactly what is going on. We are going to also see that isolations of refugees in camps, especially in Germany, will be a priority, because some of these refugees are kept in the forest. We want to make sure that refugees' houses in the forest, isolated camps are closed, and most especially the new awaiting deportation centers that is being spread around Germany now, because you just have to be a foreigner to be deported. And this has also got to do with the challenge to also face the right-wing politics in Germany, especially those who don't want the foreigners, and see to what extent people can be able to see that refugees are human beings like others, and they should not be seen as disadvantaged in the society.